John F. Kennedy had not been killed on that fateful day in Dallas a half century ago, how would America and the world have been different? One of our most insightful and well-known political commentators, Jeff Greenfield, offers a thought-provoking and, above all, plausible response to those questions in his new book, If Kennedy Lived, The First and Second Terms of President John F. Kennedy, An Alternate History. The book is published by Putnam, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jeff Greenfield back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What brought you to this idea of thinking of what those first and second terms would be like?
Well, alternate history is something that's always fascinated me. From the time I learned as a kind of a young political, I don't know, participant, how close Franklin Roosevelt came to being shot and killed in Miami before he got to be president, and later learning how close John Kennedy came to being killed by a suicide bomber in Palm Beach while he was getting ready to be inaugurated. Because I read historians or I listen to people, particularly on cable television shows, confidently predicting what's going to happen 3 years from now and realizing that throughout our history, throughout all world history, and throughout our personal lives, small changes in fate would bring enormous changes, unanticipated events. You know, a young woman shows up for dinner at the last minute 16 years ago in California, and that's my wife. You know, otherwise never would have met her. I think all of us have that feeling.
Right.
So when you look at an event like the assassination of John Kennedy and you realize, just change the weather in Dallas, keep the rain falling and the bubble top atop the car, and it's much more likely that Kennedy survives because the sun came out, the bubble top came off, and Lee Harvey Oswald had a clear shot at the president, which he would not have had in bad weather. Okay. So if President Kennedy then stays president, just because of that little twist of fate, what might have been different? And there, in my view, what you do if you do alternate history seriously is you interview, you read as much of the documents as you can, you read through the oral histories, you try to understand what was at play, and you try to figure out plausibly what might have been different. And in my view, that includes not having a war in Asia.
You mentioned the word plausible, but and that's really the key, right? Plausibility is the key to that.
Yeah. You know, if you take the opposite, you take a master of fantasy like Stephen King, and in his alternate history, a man goes back in time, saves Kennedy, but then horrible things happen because history doesn't want to be changed. We wind up in a nuclear holocaust. We wind up with George Wallace as president. We wind up with a terrible America. Now, Stephen King, you know, is a brilliant storyteller. He's not going for plausibility. He's going for inventiveness. I, being stuck in my world of political analysis, even when I'm doing imagined history, I try to stick as close as possible to what I think we could plausibly argue. So, for instance, when I argue that Lyndon Johnson could not have politically survived, it's because the very day Kennedy was shot, and I'm talking real life, Life magazine was looking into his how he got to be a multimillionaire on a government payroll. The Senate was looking into whether he'd taken kickbacks from an insurance executive, which the evidence was very strong he had. And so none of that became public because after Dallas, nobody wanted to further traumatize the country. But if Kennedy lives, I think these people say, wait, you know, we've got a vice president who almost became president who may have committed crimes. And so in my book, and I mean literally in my book, Johnson does not stay as vice president.
I think... There are, when you look at this speculative or this alternate history, there are certainly many alternate paths that history might have taken, and I suppose that can be infinite.
Yeah.
But you are looking at real conversations that have taken place, real things that have taken place both before and after the assassination that help inform what that alternate history could be.
Exactly so. In fact, there's a conversation in my book between Georgia Senator Richard Russell, who was a leading hawk on most matters foreign, and Kennedy about Vietnam. That is word for word a conversation that Russell had with Lyndon Johnson. And the shock of it, Michael Beschloss found this years ago, is here's Richard Russell saying, this is going to be a mess. And he's almost, you can almost read between the lines where he's pleading with Johnson, can't you figure out a way to, this is before the escalation. Can't you figure out a way out? And Johnson can't because You know, he listens to his advisors because he doesn't want to lose a war, because he can't think outside the box, to use that cliche. So if you put Kennedy in that conversation, which I do, keeping Richard Russell's exact words, then I think Kennedy hears Russell saying, find a way out and I'll support you. So that's the way you use reality to create an alternate history.
This is your second alternate history, and I assume you used much the same approach.
Yes.
In the research of the book.
Exactly. I mean, you know, in this case, I interviewed historians. I read as many of the documents about and histories of that time as I could. So that's why so much of the conversations actually took place. I just moved them in different ways. And there's a scene in the book where Bobby Kennedy's talking about civil rights and how difficult it would be to move inner-city blacks into the suburbs. And that's an actual statement from a debate in 1968 he had with Gene McCarthy. It's word for word. So for me, the closer you can come to reflecting what people really thought instead of making it up, the more likely it is that you're dealing with plausible alternate history.
When you think about this alternate history, why is it important to consider, do you think?
I think the most important thing for me is to realize how contingent history is, how much history turns on a dime, how it teaches a little humility. You know, I don't go on television and predict anything. Because
right.
Somebody says, well, who's going to run in 2016? You know, be my guest. You know, a famous proverb, if you want to hear God laugh, tell her your plans. That's how history works, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't deny that there are huge social movements. I mean, the civil rights movement would have happened with or without Kennedy or Johnson. But Johnson's presence and his mastery of the Senate, as opposed to Kennedy's lack of mastery, helps explain how he got a sweeping civil rights legislation through. It might have happened 5 years later, it might have happened 10 years later, but the reason it happened when it happened was because it was Johnson there. So that's a good example, I think. The other thing I think is it helps teach you what kind of characteristics a leader ought to have at certain times. For instance, John Kennedy's prudence was really critical in getting the Cuban Missile Crisis resolved peacefully, and I think it would have kept us out of Vietnam. But in 1933, you wouldn't have wanted a president with caution. You would have wanted somebody who thought as boldly as Roosevelt to try to anything to get us out of this depression. So I find it I frankly find it infinitely fascinating. I mean, there are times when it doesn't work. You know, I could not write an alternate history about Bush beating Dukakis in 1988. I mean, Dukakis beating Bush, because it wouldn't have made much difference. They were both marginal figures. But there are times in history, like Roosevelt being around to lead the Depression instead of being killed in Florida, as he almost was, by an assassin, where, boy, you better believe it makes a huge difference.
I mean, you look at, before you get to the assassination, you look at the fact that there were many things that could have prevented JFK from even winning the presidency in the first place.
Well, he could have died of scarlet fever at age 2. He could have been killed in World War II. He could have been incapacitated by an operation in 1954. He could have lost the presidency easily to Nixon. That was the closest election in history. He could have been killed by a suicide bomber. Yeah, fate had fallen in his favor time after time until Dallas.
And the scenario that you put forward in the book is similar to what you said at the beginning of our conversation, which is if the weather had not cleared and that top was up, we would not be having the discussion we're having.
The odds are far greater that we would not be having that discussion. Now, some people say, would Kennedy's health have ended his life before his term? The evidence of that is unclear. I think it might have made him a much frailer president, but I'm not sure that we can say that he wouldn't have lived out a second term. So that's right. Again, all of this when I say it teaches you humility, I also mean that if you're doing alternate history, I think you will never hear me say, I know this is what would have happened.
Right.
Best I can say is, this is what I think would have happened.
And also, there is such controversy over and question marks that remain over the assassination of the president. And so, in that column of what you think, you assume that Oswald was acting alone.
Yes. I think part of the reason why it's so hard for people to embraced that, apart from that Oliver Stone movie that made a hero out of a really disreputable district attorney, is that it doesn't fit. It doesn't seem right that so consequential an act could have been committed by a basically insignificant twerp with deranged delusions of grandeur and a self-taught kind of Marxist philosophy. We want, Jacqueline Kennedy actually said as much, we want there to have been a much more important reason. You know, it was the Cuban exiles, it was Fidel Castro, it was the organized crime, it was the fringe of the intelligence establishment, it was I don't know who, it was the Secret Service, it was Lyndon Johnson, it was something big. And the fact is that Lee Harvey Oswald fits the profile of almost every other assassin and would-be assassin in American life. They're all like this. But it doesn't satisfy us. But I believe the evidence is so strong, much stronger. Whatever, you know, I think the Warren Commission covered up the malfeasance and nonfeasance of the FBI and the CIA, which failed to keep tabs on Oswald. I think you can make that argument. But, you know, the idea that there was a conspiracy, maybe someday somebody will show up with, you know, with evidence and I'll say, oh, okay, I was wrong. But I don't think so.
The book is If Kennedy Lived, and if we take that, if Kennedy lived, you believe he would have been elected to a second term, yeah. Highly probable, running against Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, yeah. He once said, give me Goldwater, I'll never have to leave the White House. Goldwater's views on war and peace, particularly in the shadow of the Cuban Missile Crisis, were simply at the time unacceptable to the country. So for all that Kennedy might have had some problems on the domestic front, I think he would have won.
And do you think Goldwater would have run given what the national mood would have been toward Kennedy?
Yeah, he was. He was looking forward to that. He was far ahead in the race before Dallas. He liked Kennedy personally. They got along, and I think he had the notion that they would have these endless series of Lincoln-Douglas debates. No, John Kennedy would not have given his opponent an equal platform to debate endlessly. He would have had a debate once because he had no excuse not to, and he'd done it. But, yeah, I think Goldwater would have run, and he would have lost. But that's all, you know, based on what I think the politics of the time were.
And that Kennedy would have been reelected comfortably, except for the South.
He would have been, yeah, that's right. He would have lost virtually all the South because of civil rights, but he would have won most of the rest because the war and peace issue, I think, would have been dominant. That's my guess. Certainly he thought so.
You mentioned in the book the telephone call with Senator Richard Russell, and based on the real call between LBJ and Russell that took place in 1964.
Yeah.
As you mentioned at that time, that you believe that JFK would have dumped LBJ.
He wouldn't have had to dump him. I think Johnson would have been forced out of the vice presidency before 1964 because of the scandals.
So he would not have been around in a second term.
That's right. He wouldn't have been around by the end of the first term, in my view.
When you think of Johnson as a figure, his behavior that we actually saw, the real history indicates that those scandals would have been monumental enough to keep him from the ticket.
Yes. You're talking about possible criminal violations, conflicts of interests. Yeah, that's the assumption there. So he's in my book, he's gone by early 64, resigned claiming health problems, which he always did in real life. Whenever he had a crisis, there was a health problem.
You talk about this in the book about the President Kennedy and his relationship to Vietnam. Do you think he would have gotten us out of Vietnam?
Yeah. I think the probabilities are that his skepticism about the military, his desire to thaw out the Cold War after Cuba, his feeling that it was not central to American interests, he had permitted the escalation of advisors, and I think he was looking for ways after his reelection, he often said, to get out because he just thought it was going to be a potential disaster. But he also was very aware of the political problem of being seen as soft on communism. So he said he would wait till 64, get reelected, and then see what he could do.
You say he stages a stealth withdrawal from
Vietnam. Yeah, exactly.
Vietnam.
Yeah, not a forthright one. So there you are.
Do you think when you look at civil rights, obviously this would have been an issue, would we look at what Johnson accomplished, what would JFK have been able to accomplish?
Less, because he didn't, I think we've mentioned this, he didn't know the Senate, he didn't have the skills of legislation that Johnson did, and he didn't have his, Kennedy's death was a big big, powerful momentum builder towards civil rights to sort of honor him.
The name of the book is If Kennedy Lived, The First and Second Terms of President John F. Kennedy, An Alternate History. The book is published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.